This is Maeve Russell. This is the second half of tape 851, March 28, 1988. Last week I began what I called part one. It's really a continuation on the subject of Aryan nations, but this is part two of the trial of these people for treason. These people are now 13. One has already been let off the case, a man who supplied weapons but claimed he didn't know they came from stolen money. Back in April of 87, almost a year ago, on broadcast 803, I mentioned that 15 white racists were indicted for murder plotting to overthrow the government, and I briefly mentioned the defendants at that time. As I say, now there are 13, and the most important of them, with links to the Air Force and the military, well, two of the most important, William Pierce and Mr. Metzger, are not defendants in this case. Pierce is head of the National Alliance. That was earlier the National Nazi Party run by Mr. Rockwell. He came from the Air Force, worked for United Technology. Another important one not included in this case of treason is Mr. Metzger. His son and he helped found the Skinheads, the group of youth Nazis that are currently about beating up people, and I mentioned that last week. But I did mention, going back to last April, that they had been indicted, and now the trial is taking place. And last week, I gave the names of the defendants. Since that time, defendant number 10, Robert Neil Smalley, this last week, was let off on, he was acquitted on all charges. Now, included in these intentions of these white supremacists, and I might have mentioned before, but a lot of people are really not aware of what is on their mind, their view. They've been charged for wanting to put cyanide into water, and the various obvious charges are pretty well spelled out. But in their minds, they believe, first of all, that whites, and they declare this quite openly in interviews and in their pamphlets and literature and at press conferences and so forth, that white people are the people of God, that they sincerely believe that. The second thing they believe is that Jews are spawn of Satan, that they come out of Satan, that if there's good and evil in the New Testament and there's Satan, Jews spawn of Satan. The third is that blacks are subhuman. They call them mud people, descendants of the devil, suitable as slaves for whites. The fourth thing is the United States government is now called ZOG, Z-O-G, Zionist Occupation Government, that they wanted to change. The fifth is that Jews must be eradicated, and Mr. Pierce from the Air Force United Technology is the one who wrote the book on how every Jew should be strung from pole to pole across the United States with their throats cut and so forth. Jews must be eradicated. The next is that the Holocaust never happened, and they're simpatico with Liberty Lobby, Willie Cardo and that group, believing that the Holocaust never happened. And, of course, Mark Lane, the writer-researcher, is the attorney for the group that believes that the Holocaust never happened. And the next is that homosexuality, abortion, and race mixing, all these three go against the nature of God, and they believe in racial separation, that it's absolutely necessary. Well, if they're all eradicated, then they're separated. And so this is the first thing is to separate and then eradicate and get rid of these people. There are also plans, I mentioned before, mentioning the Wade family, William Wade and Ivan Wade, who are defendants, plans to kill the American Indians, ways to kill all American Indians, so it's blacks, Jews, and Indians. And a lot of this attention to the trial of these people, as I say, came to a head with the murder of Gordon Call, the tax protester, and a lot of these defendants housed him and were sympathetic to him. And then through the process of investigating the plans to kill a federal judge and an FBI agent that I mentioned last week, the problem came out about homosexuality, how much they hate the homosexuals, the Indians, how they'll use stolen money, how they'll poison the water. And all of these things are, of course, very serious. And when they have meetings, they give the Nazis salute and have pictures of Adolf Hitler. So the fundamental idea behind this group is not new, and the organizers, the real power base in our government, the kind that do the rituals in Himmler's castle and believe that the Waffen-SS is still alive, are very protected at West Point and other military establishments, whether within the SEALs or in Vietnam or I'm sure fighting Central America, the higher-ups are very safe, but these lower echelon, who are also dangerous, can be rounded up to show that you can't openly talk about sedition or treason. You can do it, but you can't do it openly. So that's the way it is being manipulated. Now, the chief witness in this case, prosecution witness, is a man who was always part of this group, but who has gotten a 20-year sentence and wants to get out of jail and be with his wife and child. So he seems to be singing, and his name is James Ellison. And he was once the leader of the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord. That group was busted up when their compound was recognized for training these kinds of radicals for rifle shooting and training. And he was arrested, and he's in the federal prison and would like to get out. As I said before, he has two wives and 9 children. He's pretty good at filling this world with a lot of little neo-Nazis. And Ellison is now asking for a new identity for his wives and children. And he originally set up a survivalist community in 1976 where the Covenant, the Sword, and the Arm of the Lord could practice their racism and potential for killing. They had 224 acres to practice on a paramilitary training camp. And, of course, Richard Butler has one of those in Idaho. And they're all over the United States, and they are a hair's breadth from the Minutemen and the CIA. The coordinator focused right into these groups. Now, their goal for poisoning water and leading to race wars was to get social unrest for the purpose of overthrowing the government. Going back to what I said at the beginning of this tape, shooting Jesse Jackson would begin a race war or a social unrest. And building up Jesse Jackson as a candidate to the very highest possibility of being president of the United States, just the idea that he could be now, and if he's killed, it would help this race war and overthrowing the government, which is what the specific goal is of these people. And Richard Butler, one of the defendants, was an engineer at Lockheed who worked with Alan Dulles, James McCord, Edwin Wilson, and the U2 persons involved in spying, espionage, and so forth. So he isn't any fool. And while we build up Jesse Jackson, and that may have been the attention for 1988, these people all around the country are getting armed and could begin a race war in just such a situation. So the testimony of Ellison is important. In 1983, July 83, he attended a meeting of Aryan Nations, and this is at Richard Butler's place in Idaho, where they set up the idea for killing federal officials, and they set up the idea for overthrowing the country and using money counterfeiting and armed robbery to fund their project. I also did a broadcast not too long ago about important meetings in the National Security Council in 1983 where this government actually changed hands and shifted gears into this fascist state, and there's no reason to believe that these people aren't incorporated into some of those plans. And the idea of the cyanide being in the water was carried out only in the sense that Mr. Robert Miles took to the meeting some cyanide and illustrated the gun, the canisters that held it, and at his location in Michigan, where they also could train on many, many acres for these kinds of activities, they kept drums of cyanide to poison the waters. There was a British documentary in 1982 on the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord, and the prosecution in this case showed a segment of this broadcast. It was a paramilitary training group, and he showed the bins of cyanide to the court in Arkansas, where the case is going now, and they showed him rifles and semi-automatic weapons and so forth that were confiscated. And so Jim Ellison, who compares himself to King David, who had 8 wives, is beginning to give all the details of the organization and what they were doing. And he gave some details in the newspaper in Arkansas, this was February 24th, on why they decided to target pawn shops in Springfield, Missouri, for robberies. And this was instead of going to candy stores or shoe repair shops. He said because they're all Jewish, the pawn shops. So they planned to kill the owners after they robbed. They kill a Jew and get the money at the same time. They weren't just in for robberies. They could kill the Jews, thereby killing a witness, but they were Jews, so it didn't matter. And Jim Ellison was told after one of these robberies that by a witness in the trial that they shot the man in the head, and he said, why did you kill him? And he said, well, he was an evil man, he was a Jew, he just needed to die. Now, this is the kind of thing said out of, by one of the defendants, but is being printed in the papers in Arkansas that you're not seeing across the country. If you don't take that paper, you're not even seeing this kind of news. And again, Ellison has been testifying about using the means to interrupt the flow of gas going into pipelines into Chicago, from Fulton to Chicago. They tried this in November 83, and they want to disable the cities throughout the country by getting into the utilities and breaking them up. So this current trial, I have a lot of articles on it, and Ellison is the main prosecution witness, and in return, his 20-year sentence for all kinds of various crimes will be reduced, and the former head of the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord will have a new identity, two wives and 9 children, and in return for getting an indictment on a few of these, he will be free and they can continue practicing what they want, because I don't believe his mind would change over one or two simple events. But they're using this time to bide their time to educate people on the necessity to kill the Jews and how the country is run by the Zionists. There was an article in The Guardian, February 24th, 1988, that is very scary, alarming, disgusting, and important, and I want to share that with you. It's titled, Aryan Nations Get a Foothold in Utah. The Aryan Nations, of course, run by Richard Butler, who's now one of the defendants in Arkansas. The Aryan Nations Get a Foothold in Utah, and this is what the article's about. An Aryan Nation radio show caused an uproar last year when Richard Butler, now a defendant in the Arkansas trial, who's out loose, he's not in jail, inaugurated a program December the 5th, 1987, 3 months ago. The Utahians were alarmed to learn that the far rightists had made so many inroads into the state. The Utah National Guard was purged of Nazis just this past year. The National Guard was a source of weapons for Nazis in America, and Mr. Richard Butler announced that his Church of Jesus Christ, Aryan Nations, would open his office in Utah at a time when the Nazis were getting weapons from the Utah National Guard. Plans were made to move into Ogden or Provo, Utah, where more than half of Utah's black population lives, about 10,000 in the state of Utah. There was the murder by a black man convicted of sadistic multiple murder. He was charged with doing a murder, and this aroused racism and tension in the black community, the fact that a black man had done a murder. The Counter-Marxist Hour, which they call it, a weekly, on radio station KZZI, an AM radio station, announced their support for the Aryan Nations when the black man was charged with killing a white man. Dwight McCarthy, and that name is important, is the host. He planned a weekly Aryan Nations Hour starting December 3rd, 1987. In San Francisco, Mr. Metzger has his own TV channel for the Nazis and Aryan Nations. The KZZI owner and manager, John Hinton, said this is a matter of free speech, and I just cited what they think about blacks, whites, and Jews, their goals. It's not just speech, but it's inciting to riot, inciting to kill. McCarthy said that as the disc jockey there, he would be paid $100 an hour on Saturday morning for airing the Aryan Nations. 400 protesters gathered near KZZI. Joe Roach read Mr. Butler's platform for the Aryan Nations, which I just cited a little bit of on this tape, and in quotes, everyone is talking about free speech, and these people are talking about killing people, was a quotation of a man in Utah, and that is my opinion also, that it isn't free speech, it's talk about how to murder people. And the article goes on by December the 15th, just before Christmas. The end of the program was announced, and the blame, of course, went to the liberal Marxist coalition of homosexual Zionists who didn't want the radio program on. So Mr. Hinton lost his sponsors, and Richard Butler said they would return on the air, and I believe he means they would return. Now, there are new laws in Idaho that went into effect when the Aryan Nations became so prominent there, against malicious harassment for religious and racial reasons. And those laws lost the activity of the Aryan nations and declined a lot of their racism because you can't have harassment for religion or race. And plenty of that was going on in Idaho. So now they're trying to bring back that law, not bring it back, enter it into Utah, and it actually should be in 50 states, that you can't harass or threaten somebody for their life if they're black or Jew or Vietnamese or whatever. The article continues, the Utah State Guard was reorganized in 1987, in February of 87. They had to change it because the Guard was infiltrated for a long time. The long dormant Utah State Guard was reactivated as soon as Ronald Reagan was president in 1981. He called for the state units to go to Central America, and Ronald Reagan wanted to activate the National Guard. The Utah National Guard had grown. Originally, until Reagan was inaugurated, there were 30 people. When Reagan became president, and soon after, there were 400 officers. One half of this group, that would be 200, had military experience. Many were convicted felons. Many were mental cases, and many were Nazis. Now, mental cases could be the zombie type who were programmed to do various assassinations or murders, and murder easily. I remember my attention came to Jonestown when I learned in the fall of 1979 that there was a cult down in Guyana that originated in San Francisco and Ukiah in California, where members of the cult had to sign papers admitting political assassinations, and the murders hadn't taken place yet. They were practicing the admission of murders that they hadn't done, but they would be the patsies for. So going back to the Utah National Guard, it used to be 30. Reagan became president. He wanted the National Guard in every state to be reactivated, to be sent into war areas, and they practiced frequently in Central America. Half of these came from the Vietnam or Korean experience, and half of them were convicted felons, or many of them mental cases and Nazis. And according to this story, it attracted the Rambo types. And soon the Guard again had to be purged, starting in 1987, February of 87. They realized what was happening, and now they have gone back to 31 officers from the 400 officers. Now, regarding the radio talk show host that invited Richard Butler and the Nazis from Idaho to have a weekly program talking about killing people, does Mr. McCarthy, the same Dwight McCarthy that was the host to the Aryan Nations Hour in Utah, was also a recruiting officer for the Utah State Guard. Now, he may still be a recruiting officer for the Utah State Guard. There's others besides the 31 officers, but he was the recruiting officer and also the co-host to Richard Butler, and he's a part of the Guard and working with Richard Butler. He had helped organize an elite assault force of cavalry scouts. Now, this is what I call the private army paramilitary, the Fry Corps that will take over this country. Mr. McCarthy, the friend of Richard Butler and the Utah National Guard recruiting officer, organized an elite assault force of cavalry scouts who engaged in unauthorized training with weapons and live ammunition on his own, not authorized. He used state funds from Utah. They purchased handguns and shotguns. They aren't supposed to use live ammunition. He used the AR-15 semi-automatic rifles, the M2 sniper rifles, 7 vehicles, 1 with police markings, and 2 motorcycles. As a recruiter for the National Guards, training cavalry scouts, not authorized, combat weapons, live ammunition, had the use of state money, supplying weapons, and hiring and setting up a radio station for Richard Butler of the Aryan Nations, a defendant in the suit that I'm talking about. The article continues, the State Guard was gathering intelligence. And again, the intelligence gathering is important. One of the defendants in this large suit that I mentioned has a computer connecting between 50 states. And of course, that was the expertise of John Reese of Western Goals as an agent provocateur, setting up the home and address of various liberals around the country, actors, movie producers, etc., etc. And one of the statements here about the National Guard is they gathered intelligence on potential terrorist groups. Again, this would be the rounding up if there were riots, and groups that might pose a threat to national security in the event of World War III. And this is the man using the National Guard, recruitments, live ammunition, intelligence gathering for World War III at a time when, say, our candidate who's getting a popularity, Jesse Jackson, is black, and World War III contingency plans, FEMA, Federal Emergency Management, include rounding up the blacks. And this article continues that these would be our targets, they said, the potential terrorist groups. These would be our targets. And one of the unidentified guardsmen that led combat training, one of the members of the National Guard that led combat training for the Utah National Guard, also trained at the 20-acre ranch of Richard Butler of Aryan Nations, Hayden Lake, Idaho. The FBI acknowledged that a related federal investigation into the arms thefts from the Arms Depot, Thule Arms Depot, T-O-O-L-E, Thule Hill Air Force Base in Utah. That's where weapons were stolen from. And one of the guardsmen, who they don't mention in the article, also led combat training with Richard Butler at Idaho with the Aryan Nations. The article continues, in 1940, and I've had this on the air a long, long time ago, the Southern California Church of Jesus Christ was started by Wesley Smith, former Klan organizer of the Ku Klux Klan, and Richard Butler went to him. He went out of the Air Force as an engineer from the U-2 working. Well, even he was working at Lockheed when he was working with Wesley Swift of the Klan and working on the U-2 program. Swift developed the Christian Kingdom Identity Movement. That's a movement that separates the Jews and blacks from the whites. There are 75 to 80 identity congregations in the United States, a membership of 18,000 to 20,000. But throughout the United States, they can also be linked to National Guards and Armory in those states. And their theology is that white Aryan people are the true Israel from the 12 tribes of Israel, descendants of Adam and Eve. In 1973, Richard Butler moved his church to Hayden Lake, Idaho. That's when Richard Nixon had been reelected. Just after the Watergate scandal, Nixon was elected. The impeachment process hadn't started. But Butler moved from Burbank and Lockheed to Idaho. From 1981 onward, when Reagan was president, the gospel he started to preach was about creating his own Aryan nation in the Northwest. And he brought together these various identity groups that I've mentioned, the Posse Comitatus, the Christian Defense League, the Christian Patriots Defense League, the Covenant Arm, the Sword of the Lord, the Nazis, the Klan, the neo-Nazi extremists, the armed survivalists, the tax resistors, and others carrying out their war against the United States government. Late in 1984, 24 of these Aryans and close associates of Richard Butler were part of a series of robberies, and you remember Robert J. Matthews, or maybe you don't remember, was killed in McAllen Falls, Washington, and the attention went to Richard Butler, and then it came out that there were plans by Matthews for helping the Aryan nation relieve itself from ZOG, Zionist Occupation Government, and these people were also involved in killing the radio announcer, speaker, talk show host, Alan Byrd. And the order had accumulated $4 million just from a bank robbery in Ukiah, and where that money is has not been revealed or shared. But these people have been a long, serious group, and having their intelligence connections with computers is very important, because no matter how long these particular defendants, 11 of them, would be in jail, if they're found guilty at all by a court in Arkansas, and we depend upon that. The important men in this operation, in addition to people like John Reese of Western Gold, the important man is Louis David Beam from Dallas, Texas, who has been running a computer to connect all the organizations. He's a Vietnam veteran, and he wants to connect all of them by computer, and along with John Reese, they help identify the homes and addresses of people who would be selected targets, and they speak of rounding up for World War III and work with the National Guard and work with Richard Butler, a kingpin in this, and Robert Miles from Detroit, Michigan, and Louis David Beam. Those are the three biggies in this case. One having the connections to the far right and the military right connected to the Pacific, to Douglas MacArthur and Charles Willoughby, the people behind Reagan's nomination and election. And after eight years of that, you can look back, the same people behind the China lobby and the powers behind Richard Nixon. And then the importance of the Michigan connections and the David Beam computer connections. I've gone in and might stress them frequently, but these people, because they've been indicted in Arkansas, doesn't mean at all that they'll go to jail or that there isn't a backup team that supports them and is making a contingency in case of World War III or civil riots where they know how to round up. And think of the implications of the National Guard and the Nazis connecting and having live ammunition and false IDs of police departments, police cars, and so forth, in order to make a lot of havoc in this country, given any national crisis, and it easily could come if, say, Jesse Jackson would be assassinated. I'll do more on the trial of the Aryan Nations next week or the week after. I want to keep up a little bit each week on what's happening in that trial. But before I finish this tape, I want to share with you one more personal matter, or too close to home matter, that I found in my files that years ago in 1984 I wasn't even paying attention to, probably didn't want to believe or think about it, but I want to share with you quickly now. It's an article from the Monterey Herald called "With Fatal Vision Case," and it's about an Army CID investigator, CID forwarded by the name of Robert Shaw. And Robert Shaw moved to this Monterey Peninsula after he was in charge of the Army investigation case at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, of Jeffrey McDonald, Dr. Jeffrey McDonald, that was charged with murdering his wife and three children. His wife was pregnant and two daughters. And Robert Shaw moved to the Monterey Peninsula after being in charge of that investigation. And it was his father, retired Monterey County Deputy Coroner Robert Shaw Sr. of Pebble Beach, who, according to this story, was a career Army officer, a CID agent, and despite assignments all over the world in the United States, Shaw was assigned to California. He's been everywhere. But after the McDonald case, he was assigned to California, and his father was the deputy coroner here, and he was the man in charge, of course, the formal or no investigation of the accident that my daughter was in, and I was very familiar with some of the things that Mr. Shaw was doing on the peninsula regarding particularly the murder of a man named Brady Avery, a particular political activist who was gunned down, and the person who murdered him was literally paid to walk out of town and just leave here, and he shot the guy's head off. So I've watched quite a few, unfortunately, murders. Unfortunately, they've been people, some that I've known here on the peninsula. And the coroner here was part of the Army intelligence, and his son moved here as part of the Army intelligence, and the father was an Army CID agent. And the article says, after 23 years as an Army Criminal Investigation Division agent, Robert Shaw finds himself returning again and again to a particular murder case, February 17, 1970, at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He was the Army Chief Warrant Officer, who is now stationed at Fort Ord, California. He's the last military officer still on active duty who was involved in the investigation of the murder of Colette McDonald and her two daughters, Kimberly 5 and Kristen 2, at their home on the post. Captain Jeffrey McDonald, a physician, was assigned to Special Forces in Fort Bragg and was convicted of the three murders. He's serving three consecutive life sentences. So the man in charge of the investigation and the man who held on to the investigation up to the end moved out here to California to continue working for the Army, and is the son of the retired Monterey County Deputy Coroner Robert Shaw, who also was a career Army CID officer and was our coroner out here for a great many years. He's still around, but like father, like son, I thought it was interesting knowing some of these tragic cases that were covered up out here. that his son was part of this controversial case of the murder of the McDonald family that he claims was done by Satanists, and he is being held as a patsy in the jail for the rest of his life. Well, the time is over now. This tape is also running out. I'll be back next week. There's so much news we can't even scratch it, but I'll try, and I'll keep you up on the latest that is happening around here as well as out in the world, and I hope it is good and gets better all the time. Bye-bye.